Hello neighbors, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is episode 18 of season 2. What is waste? Well, that depends. If you use the word as an adjective or a noun, it might mean a material that's discarded as no longer useful, given our current levels of imagination and technology. However, as a verb, waste can mean to use or expend carelessly, as in, we are wasting 60% of a codfish. And what happens when what we thought was waste becomes a commodity, a resource for a whole new process, when we realize that the fish offal we've been throwing away could be a source of collagen for cosmetics and pharmaceuticals? That may change just about everything. While people talk about the circular economy, we have not yet rejigged our policies to fit these new realities. But there are people pushing the envelope for us all. Today, we meet one of them.
At what point does something become waste? When does it leave the fishery? When does it leave the forestry sector and become waste? So those lumpfish are basically just slurried away and pumped into the ocean and kind of pink goo. Well, I want that pink goo. Right now, we're just throwing all that protein away. The technology has existed here in the province for 3 decades. And nobody's done anything about it. So we have 3 decades of free protein that's just poof, like it never existed. The real pinnacle for the cod for us is our collagen cosmetic ingredient and our protein powder supplement.
Ben Wiper is the CEO of 3F Waste Recovery, which is, in their own words, and I quote, focused on turning waste problems in the fishery farming and forestry industries into profitable solutions, end of quote. Remember that old adage that one person's trash is another person's treasure? Today we see how that's true in several natural resource sectors in Newfoundland Labrador. And we see how fish skin, moose hides, clam byproducts, and even pink goo may end up saving us. Listen close. This is the future. Recently, I had a chance to talk to Ben on Zoom. He joined me from Rodicton on the Great Northern Peninsula.
My name is Ben Wiper, founder and CEO of 3F Waste Recovery. And what we do is take the byproducts of the fish, farm, and forest primary processing sector and turn them into high-value natural ingredients, primarily in the food, health and wellness, and cosmetic space.
And the 3F refers to farming, fishery, and forestry?
Exactly.
So when did you start this enterprise?
Started about going on 4 years now, back in 2017. And I started up in Maine Brook on the Northern Peninsula. I was brought up to do a project up there to implement a cod filleting line. And I quickly learned with 60% of the fish being waste or byproduct, that creates a really, really big logistical problem and a cost problem too. So at the end of that project, I kind of moved on and said, well, geez, there's a whole lot of waste that's costing processors a whole lot of money to get rid of. And, I did a bit of research within the academic institutions, and cod really stuck out as the best opportunity.
Let's start with that F, the fisheries. And you mentioned the cod, 60% being waste. So what happens to that right now? Like, where does it end up?
Sure. So right now, what happens to it, I'll kind of start at the end. So if there's nothing else to do with it, it is typically just given away to farmers. They can come, load up as much as they want, and they spread it on their fields. And that's kind of the bottom line. I'd say very little gets dumped or landfilled just because of the expense involved when there's farmers typically who will take it. Beyond that, a step above, animal feed, you know, your mink farm, and Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, fox farms, things like that. And then kind of your higher end, there is a bit of pet feed being done. So that's kind of what's happening now. And, you know, we're trying to do some, higher value application stuff with it.
So you mean there are cod grown potatoes you could get in the Northern Peninsula?
Yes, definitely. And starting on the, probably on the Avalon now too, we actually sold our first 1,000 pounds of our seafood compost with cod to Good to Grow on top of the road there.
So to make that into a soil amendment, it's a composting process, basically?
That's the first step, yeah. We're going to compost and do some trials with our compost compared to, you know, kind of no fertilizer versus an off-the-shelf fertilizer, grow the same crops under the same conditions, and try to identify what combination or what formulation might deliver certain crop benefits. And then as we kind of narrow in on those formulations, we'll try to start working on a way to take kind of the heavyweight volume of a compost and condense it down into the exact composition of a soil amendment.
So we talked about cod. Are there other fish byproducts, other species that are also in high supply?
Definitely. We're getting a fair bit of fish heads, like herring heads and things like that from kippers and stuff like that, if they do them head off. A lot of are still done head on. There's a fair bit of lump fish that we're trying to obtain. Right now, we don't have any formal relationships with large salmon producers, but the lump fish are used as a cleaner fish to eat the parasites in the pens, rather than using antibiotics and other more harmful ways of controlling the parasites. Problem is those lumpfish, once they get too big, they actually harm the flesh of the salmon and decrease the value of the end product, which is, of course, the salmon fillet. So those lumpfish are basically just slurried away and pumped into the ocean in kind of pink goo. Well, I want that pink goo. But until the problem is that a lot of this stuff, it's unprecedented in terms of applying to regulatory and legislative areas. You know, at what point does something become waste? When does it leave the fishery? When does it leave the forestry sector and become waste? Because there are a lot of laws, like moose pet treats right now is one big one for me. When does that carcass change from being wildlife to being waste? Because that carcass sitting in a landfill, you can't tell me that's a carcass anymore. But there's also laws that say wildlife is a non-commercial activity, period. And yet it doesn't make sense if I've got a $6 million a year opportunity for moose pet treats to let those carcasses rot away in the dump.
You should have a t-shirt saying, I want your pink goo.
Yes, that would be a good one. I love you to write that down. Yeah. I want your pink goo.
So one of the uses is pet food and so on. But for fisheries byproducts, you also have other products that you're creating out of that sometimes as well.
Yes. Yeah, we've got a full range. So I'll just kind of stick with cod as the main one. At kind of the bottom of, if I can't do anything else with the cod byproduct, I've got the seafood compost, as we've already kind of touched on. Above that is the cod skin pet treats. So we've got a cod, rolled cod skins. We've got listings with Loblaws and Sobeys now, working on a major international pet treat deal now that could see us utilize almost 50% of the entire province's cod skins. But the real pinnacle for the cod for us is our collagen cosmetic ingredient and our protein powder supplement. We have acquired some Icelandic technology, batch recipe essentially, with the equipment configuration we need to make it, that you can put any part of the cod byproduct, the skins, the heads, the backbones, into a soup and it breaks it all down. Use some centrifuges, it spins out the protein powder in one channel, it spins out the collagen in another. You do some refinement activities to clean it up so it's at food grade or at cosmetic grade. We're actually, you know, utilizing the entire species, and any little bits that I don't utilize as the protein powder or the collagen goes into the compost. And so we literally have a full valorization with cod in Newfoundland. And that's really what we're aiming at.
The pet treats, are they little curled skin, and are they smoked or anything, flavored?
Yeah. Well, we have just plain ones. Basically, they're rolled and they look like a croissant, because what we do is we roll them from the neck down to the tail, right? So you end up with this layered effect that looks like a croissant.
How do they taste?
Well, I have had them. They taste a bit like salty leather, but the dogs seem to love them. I mean, dogs are about 95%. Yeah. Cats are only about 50%. But on the upside, if we do freeze dried cod skins, our uptake on cats is around 80%, which is near impossible for cats. So we've actually made some big investments. We have a callskins.ca website that's just launching. You know, we've had it professionally designed and branded. You know, we're getting really ready to scale up for growth and ramp into international sales here with our various products, and kind of demonstrate, hopefully, to Newfoundlanders and Labradorians that there's literally gold out there to be had. You can be alchemists here in this province.
The new alchemy.
It is. That's kind of how I view it.
Do you have a piece of music that I can put in behind some of this? Is there a band that you like especially?
Piece of music, a band that I like. Oh, geez. Well, I'll give you two wide ends of the spectrum.
Okay.
24K Golden. Song name is Mood, M-O-O-D.
Why you always in the mood? Around like I'm brand new. I ain't trying to tell you what to do, but try to play cool. Baby, I ain't playing by your rules. Everything look better with a view. Why you always in the mood? Around like I'm brand new. I ain't trying to tell you what to do, but try to play cool. Baby, I ain't playing by your rules. Everything look better with a view.
I can never get attached when I start to feel I'm unattached. Somehow I was in a feeling bad. Baby, I am not your dad. It's not all you want from me. I just want your company. Girl, it's obvious, elephant in the room.
set me up. Only thing I need to know is if you wet enough. I'm talking slick back, kick back, gangs up in 40s. You keep playing that another day with your shorty. Mismatch proof that was wet before you know me. Got a lot of love, but you better save it for me.
We play games of love to avoid the depression.
That was 24K Golden with Mood, one of the two musical tracks suggested by my guest today, Ben Wiper. The second one is, well, rather different. You'll hear it in about 10 minutes. Let's head back to my conversation with Ben of 3F Waste Recovery. He's a man who asks various industries, are you throwing that away? Can I have it? And he uses those things to create whole new economies. This part of the conversation begins with some discussion of how he's using waste materials to design a line of pet treats.
I noticed somewhere it talked about Bay Roberts as the pet food treat capital of Newfoundland and Labrador. I didn't realize that. Is that right?
Well, you know, that's what we're going for. In addition to the cod, we are doing a lumpfish pet treat. We also are working on a herring head pet treat, a herring skin pet treat, and a really, really interesting clam pet treat that has some really, really cool health benefits for cats. It contains a chemical in it that all animals need to control a lot of bodily basic functions, but cats have to acquire from their diet, whereas most animals it's produced naturally. So we found this clam that's really high in this chemical that's needed. So, you know, we really are trying to make Bay Roberts there into the pet treat capital of Newfoundland and Labrador. It could change a lot of people's lives. Like, you know, it could be 50 to 75 rural jobs year round, probably by second year of the deal, third year of the deal, probably 30, 40 right out of the gate.
So what part of the clam does it use then?
It's the meat. It's a really cool project. I am allowed to say that it's one of the largest Canadian seafood processors that is majority indigenously owned. A bycatch species of clam when they're catching another type of clam that they have a commercial market for. And so they're yielding it and they're just having some challenges finding somewhere to put it. And so they came to us looking for some help. It's actually given our company a lot of credibility having such a, you know, established and reputable company working with us to help sell their product. And, you know, when I think about the volumes that we have, just a specific example, a demonstrated success is the fish hydrosylate that's up out of Twillingate there with Shell-X. So they're selling it for well above market price. It's a local product that people are supporting, not price-based decision buying. And they should be out there being supported to scale the heck out of that. Yeah. And every last bit of fish waste, rather than silaging it and put all this salmon waste that's going to the dump, like, don't be ridiculous. Scale this up. Let's become the fish hydrosylate capital of the world. We've demonstrated this local market that's very, very unique in its willingness to pay. And there's no reason to think that we can't find other markets across Canada that are willing to pay a price premium for a Newfoundland product.
For those two or three people listening who don't know what hydrosylate is, what do people buy it for? What do they put it on?
It's essentially a liquid fish fertilizer. And it's a process of where the fish breaks down to a certain point without using any heat. So it's generally quite a smelly product, but it's very, very effective.
So for people who put a capelin in with their corn or whatever, this is just a more technical version of that.
It is. It's a bit more further along in the process and probably a bit more science behind the formulations to it. And just on that point about throwing the capelin on, that was actually the inspiration behind the brand name that we're selling our seafood compost under, which is Nan's Secret.
Oh, Nan's Secret. Lovely.
So we went for that just because everybody's Nan put fish or kelp or whatever on their garden. And so I was just like, well, geez, that seems like the perfect name for a compost brand.
So back to the cod, you also talked about protein powders. Is that human consumption?
Yes, it's a nutritional supplement, human grade product. Product we're making now is pushing around 93% purity. We can get it, like our collagen is more like 98%. So that's what the market wants. Whereas a food grade product, you actually don't want it quite so clean. It has a bit more taste. And it hides a bit of the bitterness. The more you refine your proteins, the more bitter the flavor gets. You can take it as a nutritional supplement. That's the customer that we're kind of working with now. However, long term, my hope is that this to me is the potential for a strategic food reserve for the province. Because if you can take these tons and tons and tons of wet fish protein, break it down and extract everything that's not the protein, dry it so that your shelf life's 5-10 years, backpack it, seal the heck out of it. You know, COVID's taught us a lot of things here, and we are not as food secure as we think. And you know what? I bet there'd be a lot of people really, really happy to be able to shove some high quality fish protein in their throat if we had some reason these ferries stopped running this island for a month or two. When you think of it, right now we're just throwing all that protein away. It's sickening, in my opinion. And I'm sorry, I'm getting a little flared up here. But to me, the technology has existed here in the province for three decades. and nobody's done anything about it. So we have 3 decades of free protein that's just poof, like it never existed. And it's just like, how is that even acceptable in a world where we have people starving?
So you're talking about not just as a nutritional supplement for people weightlifting, but you're also talking about food security for all of us.
Everybody. How are we wasting this high quality protein?
People might ask, so does that have a taste, that fish protein?
No, you can definitely put amendments onto it. Like you kind of add, you know, you might add some sugars. This is all getting into my chemist area. I have a synthetic chemist on staff. Basically, our protein, the way we've designed it, ours is created in such a way that we have receptors open that are designed so you can add like vitamin C, or you can add potassium, or you can add different things to change the properties of it. And so, you know, that's our real enabler to, you know, modify things like taste, shelf life.
So what about the collagen? That's another piece that you get
out
of it.
That's the superstar.
Is that the superstar? Okay.
Oh my, the collagen, the potential with this is phenomenal. So what we have right now is we've actually got an international multi-provincial project on the go to create the world's first cosmetic grade commercial scale process for collagen. We have an Icelandic team who are the original intellectual property owners. They're a good generation ahead of us. And this is, I kind of view it like in the snakes and ladders game. Hooking up with these Icelanders is definitely a ladder for Newfoundland industry. And so I've got them. I've got the Marine Institute in St. John's. I've got the Brochurin Center in Sydney, Nova Scotia. And we're all working on a new process to create. It's literally going to be the first green process. All commercial production of collagen relies on an acid-based hydrolysis. And what that is, basically, you take the proteins out of the rough skins using an acid, just because it's faster, it's a little more efficient, it's a lot less costly. But we've developed a way that's about double the time of acid process. And we were able to actually say we have the full clean process end to end. We have actually no waste created, no harmful byproducts of our production. But the real technological advancement for industry is the low molecular weight. So our collagen molecule weighs a really, 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 really small amount. And the benefit of that is that it can get through really, really small spaces, like into your skin, and it absorbs. Like right now, most collagen, the molecule is just too big. It's a topical application at best. Nothing permeates the skin, but ours does that, which obviously you think of that, well, cosmetic applications. So all those cosmetics that you see out there, most of them are using a collagen that doesn't actually absorb. It kind of just creates a protective coating. It still has benefits. I'm not going to say that. Yeah. It's just ours has a much better uptake rate.
So the collagen is sort of the vector, the thing that takes whatever medicinal substances that there are, and it then helps it enter the skin for cosmetic or medicinal properties like that.
Yeah, it grabs whatever's the good stuff, isn't it? Drags it in. Pretty cool. Just to briefly kind of cap off where the ultimate end goal of collagen is when you take it to the next level beyond cosmetic, you're going into pharmaceutical areas. And we're actually sending some samples to a company in Nova Scotia that's doing some really, really cool stuff with biotextiles. Yeah, it's like wool, but made out of other organics, like out of proteins and stuff like that. Okay. They're 3D printing parts that you put into the human body with fish collagen. And the reason that they're doing that is because, unlike pig and cow, zero, big fat, zero rejection rate. No known transmissible diseases because it's fish. So the potential is just huge. And the other potential huge pharmaceutical application that we're aiming towards is pill encapsulation. Because of the property we're just talking about, how it drags the medicine in or whatever the good stuff is so much better. Well, imagine instead of using a pill capsule made of gelatin, made of collagen instead. So if you're Bayer or you're any of these big pharmaceutical companies and you have to, you know, near 1,000 milligram pill, you have to put in 1,200 milligrams to get that 1,000 into the body. Well, if ours makes your absorption rate 15% better, well, you can put in 1,050 milligrams and you're saving 100 milligrams per pill on a billion or a trillion pills a year. Right. Like, you're changing the whole game. Yeah. And that's really where 3F wants to go. We're preparing now for the cosmetic and pharma applications of the future.
Do you have a piece of music that I can put in behind some of this?
Well, I'll give you 2 wide ends of the spectrum. Okay. 24K Golden. The other part is Nocturne in B flat minor by Chopin, my favorite classical song. I find it it's a very emotional piece. It tells a story from highs to lows.
That would be good for an entrepreneur.
Yes, it is. I always listen to it because the song, even when it's in the doldrums, it always comes back to floating on air.
Thank you.
That's the noted classical pianist Arthur Rubinstein with Chopin's Nocturne in B-flat minor. It was one of the musical suggestions from Ben Wiper, my guest today. In this section of our conversation, I begin by asking him about how an entrepreneur engages with some pretty big players from his location on the Great Northern Peninsula.
So you're talking about a couple of industries there, of cosmetics and then pharmaceuticals, that are tens of billions of dollars, the huge markets, yes, from the Great Northern Peninsula. How do you engage with these companies? And this is sort of an entrepreneurship question. How do you bring this product to their attention and not have them simply buy you out and move it all somewhere else?
Yes, that's currently the question at hand. And I am definitely kind of partway through that and learning through experience on that right now. Right now, the ace in the hand is the local supply. That's what I've got. I've got connection into the fishery to get the skins, get the byproducts. I've partnered with an independent Newfoundland fish processor that's, you know, third generation. They've been around pre-Confederation. You know, we got some roots that we're working with, and no outsider's going to get that product if we don't want them to get it. These are people who've done favors, you know, grandfathers did favors for grandfathers.
Oh, proper thing. So I'm trying to figure out quantities, like how many fish would I need of cod to get an amount of collagen that would be useful. Is there a way to visualize that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, let's say, you know, just picture your fillet cod skin. Probably if you cut from the neck up to the first fins, probably about that much of the skin would be collagen. It's roughly between 16 and 21% is collagen. Now, it's very, very temperature sensitive, though. You'll see it'll turn to gelatin if it gets up above a certain temperature. At that point, it's no longer useful. You can still use it for gelatin, you know, if you're making gummy candies or things like that.
I was curious about some of the things that Ben's company was planning to do with moose byproducts, so we steered away from marine resources for a moment.
With the Codskin International deal that we're working on, they want to actually create an entire unique protein line of pet treats from Newfoundland and Labrador. So beyond just cod, they want the moose. We're looking at doing the clams and a couple other potential products. They've done this in other countries. They've done it in Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, and now they want Newfoundland. Unique location story, unique proteins is their whole brand, and premium product, you know, traceability, the works. And so they're really interested in these moose pet treats. We were doing some work in them. You know, it's a huge opportunity. Everyone is, you know, probably saw in BOCM and on the news last year about bear problems in landfills, you know, people leaving byproducts, you know, at the wharf when they offload it from the boat, or at the side of the highway when they haul it in woods, things like that. You know, the waste diversion challenges it creates are one thing, but the other part is just the missed economic opportunity. And you can fully build traceability into a system to get it to market by going through the registered meat cutters and lodges. They're already there. They're already inspected. They're already known by the province. So we really think there's a lot of opportunity. The province has been supportive, I would say. They've been at least receptive to engage in the conversation of, let's figure out, you know, where is that hole between carcass and wildlife, you know, because this is a good opportunity. And these are rural jobs that we would be creating in an area, you know, that really, really needs them. And when you think of the margin behind it, right? We're not importing anything to make this. We're not subcontracting anything. Like, this is just literally stuff that's going to the dump or rotting at our wharf or on the edge of our highway. Why is this even an issue? Why are our laws so inflexible? It points to a bigger challenge. I won't get too much into it because this is about moose, but the bigger challenge is that our laws aren't designed for when waste becomes a commodity. They just have no capability to handle that, because especially if it's a regulated natural resource industry, when does that natural resource become a waste product? Does it continue to be a natural resource? It's sticky. Tangly, I think, is the way to say it. But see, what I've tried to do my best is, while in each sector, I formed a 50-50 partnership with a primary processor in that industry. So they have licenses, permits, plants, all that, to get the materials, at least certain volumes of it. So I've kind of worked through it that way, because I had to tackle that right at the beginning of forming the company. It was like, well, I can do all this work, but I may never get a primary processing license, a fish mine license, a timber rights, a sawmilling license, an agricultural permit and farm. So you partner. And I'm not, again, as a mainlander, it also works well if you partner with Newfoundlanders and Labradorians. They know people, like the network, the instant network that provides, and the credibility, because it is a very small island with multi-generational generational knowledge between families, and that's just how it is. That is the business environment here. So combine the regulatory environment, business environment, that was the best route I could find to get the materials I need.
Sounds like a recipe for success.
Well, thank you. I really hope so. It seems to be going that direction. We seem to have a good solid product in each of the F's coming out the pipeline and with sales right now. So, you know, now we're hoping to start moving up from the kind of lower tech into the higher tech stuff like our planning has us prepared to do.
What's your favorite Newfoundland food?
Oh, my favorite Newfoundland food. Salt meat. I could just eat that. All. Not the fatty kind, though. I can't do the fat. I like the veggies in Jig's Dinner, especially fresh, you know, right out of the garden. I've had that a few times. And I also like mussels fresh, right?
Well, thanks for the time. This is great.
My pleasure, Ivan. I hope we can do this again. I love talking about this stuff and I love doing it. We're really starting to make some progress here. You know, we got products coming out, we got sales, we got international interests. It's getting close, it's tangible. We're really starting to make that push now. Let's get beyond the island now, you know, start bringing some of that export dollars in and, you know, get some of these rural communities pumping again.
Goodness, I didn't get through nearly all of my questions. I still have lots of things to ask, and the time is up. I want to know more about the other 3F products, like extracting lanolin from discarded fleeces, moose tallow, soap, making wood pellets from forestry byproducts, and more. We'll have to do that later this season, or next one. If you want to learn more about the company, fire up the boiler and get the computer running, and go to 3fwasterecovery.ca. That's the number 3, don't write it out.
When does that natural resource become a waste product? Does it continue to be a natural resource? It's sticky, tangly. These are rural jobs that we would be creating in an area, you know, that really, really needs them. And yet it doesn't make sense if I've got a $6 million a year opportunity for those pet trees to let those carcasses rot away in the dump. You know, we really are trying to make Bay Roberts there into the petri capital of Newfoundland Labrador.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of this show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The songs for today's show were Mood by 24K Golden and Chopin's Nocturne in B-flat minor, played here by Arthur Rubinstein. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was performed this week by Pumpkinhead. That's the old Irish folk band, not the late rapper. Maybe you could tell. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. I'll be right here. Happy trails.
I want that pink goo.